Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome your sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day intensive workshop for men seeking to overcome sexually addictive behaviors. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery. Your experts have over 35 years of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next intensive coming up October 24th through the 26th. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with Stephen. Stephen, how you doing?
Blessed. Thank you for asking.
Good. Well, Stephen, I've recently written a little book, and we're going to talk about it this week. And so,
yes, let me play interviewer.
Sure, absolutely.
You would pass the microphone over to me. Because I'm holding in my hand this really good-looking book. I think this is the best cover you've come up with, and I hope the inside is as good as the outside, because, Jonathan, you're getting better and better as you move forward. I think it's called growth, right? And so we're all on a growth mission. I hope every listener out there is recognizing that the purpose and some of the purpose in life is to not die the same. We're on a growth mission, and that's what God is calling us to. And we're going to focus on a very specific piece of this growth mission we're called to. And so what motivated you, Jonathan, to write this book called Grace-Based Recovery?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I've been doing this ministry full-time for over 10 years, and so that's been enough time to start to see certain patterns emerge in guys in more of a long-term timeline of recovery. So it's different from seeing a guy in, let's say, a 12 to 18 month cycle. You're able to start seeing guys over years.
Yes.
And what does this recovery look like? And I think sometimes what I've seen is that there's a lot of recovery programs out there that are very behavioral focused. And the way I would put that is they're interested in how a guy is performing in recovery. So there's a performance-based approach, meaning we've got to get these guys to behave differently. So if a guy's addicted to drugs, if he's addicted to alcohol, if he's addicted to sex or porn or food or whatever, the primary objective of a lot of recovery programs is to change those behaviors, get them cleaned up from not acting out in those ways. The struggle that I've seen with the performance-based approach or those that focus so heavily on the behavioral is that the underlying factors that ultimately are driving the addictive compulsions never really get addressed head on. Meaning, so much is focused on the behavior, which I consider sort of the surface issues, that even if a guy gets cleaned up in the sense that, okay, he's not injecting drugs or he's not, you know, drinking or he's not looking at porn, there's not a real freedom, though, in his being. He hasn't really been set free from his addiction. You might consider it this way. Probably some of our listeners, maybe you've heard the term dry drunk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there's a person who is no longer drinking, but they still have all the characteristics of an alcoholic. And we've seen that as we've come alongside a lot of guys in recovery, is there's guys that they may no longer be looking at porn or seeing prostitutes, but fundamentally, their characteristics are just the same as when they were in addiction. And so one of the reasons I wanted to write this book was to start to expose maybe the kind of environment where real, total, complete transformation can occur in an addict's life, not simply some behavioral changes so this guy looks like he's got it all together, but in fact, nothing fundamentally has changed. Because I do believe that performance-based recovery is just the exact same paradigm of addiction. And I kind of point this out a little bit in the book.
Well, keep going on that thought. How is performance-based recovery like an addiction?
Well, if you think about it, addiction teaches a person to perform a certain way, meaning there's a lot of image building that goes on in addiction in order to try to keep a job or a reputation or whatever else. So this person learns to perform in certain environments in a certain way to either hide or cover up or at least mitigate some of the consequences of their addictive behavior. That's performance-based. That's saying, and a lot of times the shame that's associated with that, an addict is saying, my value is based on how I perform. So if they're acting out, they feel horrible about themselves, but then they go and perform at church and they look great in school or whatever else. And so they're still very much entrenched in a performance-based mentality towards their own worth, their own work or whatever. And then so shift that. Now this addict goes and enters recovery. And okay, all he's told is, you've got to behave this way, which means no more drugs, no more porn, whatever. So he learns.
Live clean, you know, make the right choices, act right, do the right thing, go over here, don't go over there, stay like this, don't stay like this.
The way I describe it is for an addict to enter a performance-based recovery system is just trading one treadmill for another. His other treadmill was addiction and shame and all this. And he's just, you know, he's working so hard to try to cover all that stuff up. He goes and enters a performance-based recovery system. Now he's just on another treadmill that says, I've just got to work this hard to look this other way.
But you're saying he works really hard to live with porn, and it's a lot of performance. And then he's going to work really hard to live without porn, and it's a performance.
It's still performance-based. It's still this guy. This is why so many guys we've seen come to us, and they've been in recovery for a while. And they're exhausted, and they're not experiencing freedom. Mm. They're not experiencing joy,
right,
and peace in their lives. They're even more exhausted in their recovery than they were in their addiction. And so I believe that comes down to the difference between a performance-based system and a grace-based system.
So if we're going to talk about a grace-based system, I think we need a good definition of grace so that we're all sort of working off the same page. What would you tell us about grace, or what does it mean, or how do you conceptualize this concept of grace?
Well, grace, I think fundamentally, it just means there's unmerited favor. Now, in my book, I'm coming from...
That went by really quick.
Well, I'm going to explain what I mean.
Okay.
Because in my book, I'm coming from a perspective that's saying the grace that is associated with God.
Mm.
Meaning, if you know, I believe that God is our creator, and therefore he has established the way in which we are to live, the design for us. And so when I say grace, I'm associating it with the grace of God, meaning that he has looked upon us and all the horrible things that we've done, all the ways in which we've rejected his design, and he said, I still love you, and I'm going to give you what you don't deserve, which is life.
Wow, that's
freedom.
A great line. I'm going to give you what you don't deserve because I'm God.
Yeah, and so when the whole underlying definition of grace in the book is that God looks at us in all of our brokenness and all of our sin and all of our waywardness and rebellion and all of that, and he says, that has not actually changed how I feel about you. I love you, and I still desire to give you what you don't deserve. That's grace. That's grace. And so that is, to me, the foundation of any kind of recovery program that's really going to move a person towards total transformation, not just a few cleaned up behaviors.
And then you were going to say, what does he want to give us?
Well, that's just it. What he gives us, see, I believe that in all of our sin and in our brokenness, we are existing in a state of death, meaning all that does is it leads us to death. And any addict knows exactly what I'm talking about. Anybody out there that's drowning in addiction, you know what I'm talking about. The more you pursue the life outside of the design that God has for you, the more you pursue these compulsions, it just leads to
desperation,
death.
Desperation, loneliness, brokenness, hiding, all the aspects of emotional death.
And so what God wants to give us and what he has given us in Christ is life. He says, I've actually traded my life for yours. Meaning his
but
son.
But define life. What does that mean? I'm breathing. What are you saying? I'm alive. I'm eating. What do you mean I'm getting life?
Yeah, this is so much more than just like, you know, the blood in our veins. It's the very life of our Creator in us. And not just in us, but thriving and free and able to move wherever he chooses.
And I hear bigness in what you're saying.
Oh, man,
like vision and purpose and meaning and a place. I hear big stuff in when you say that life, not just my put on my shoes and socks and clean dirty clothes. And
have air in my lungs.
Exactly. I go shave and... That's life, isn't it? No, you're saying no. The big life, the real life, the more than just eating and sleeping.
And it encompasses all of who we are, body, soul, and spirit. And that's why I believe recovery, if it's only really kind of focused on this performance space, it's really only looking at the physical. It's only saying, let's address what you're doing and only get that worked out. Whereas I believe what God wants to give us and what grace affords us is a complete and total invigoration in all aspects of our life, that we are truly alive physically. There is a part of our recovery that does transform our bodies, our biology. We know this from brain, our understanding of what occurs in the brain regarding chemicals. And so there's like a rebirth that can happen, a change that it can occur biologically. Definitely emotionally, 80% or more of addicts struggle with depression. There's a very real emotional effect that addiction has on a person. And so God gives us, through grace, he gives us this way to transform where we can experience joy and peace. And that's so much different than depression. And then there's the spiritual aspect, of course. I often have alluded to my addiction as feeling as if my spirit was being suffocated, like somebody was strangling me spiritually. And it's like what God has done in recovery is he's given me a whole new way to see life, that I don't see life the way I did through the grid of lust and porn and those kind of things.
How exciting when you're saying this grace is the doorway into all of this.
I would say not only the doorway, it's the foundation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Christ is the doorway, probably. And so look, we don't get everything just right on this program, okay? So you know,
well, I'm definitely known for switching my analogies midstream. So
so I hope that the spirit of the program is grace, and that you realize it's just a couple of guys talking here trying to figure out life. You know, so we sound really good, write books, and sound smart. We're two guys trying to figure out life and recognize that. In what you were going to say, Christ is the way, right? Mm-hmm. But the foundation is grace.
Yeah, it's this undeserved favor, and that's something. The other thing, the difference between a grace-based recovery approach and performance-based recovery approach, is when a person enters into a performance-based recovery approach, the weight of their transformation is still on their shoulders. This is why they grow so weary. They're like, okay, so I come into this program, I have proven that I cannot manage my own life, but you're telling me I got to suck it up and do better.
Oh, try harder, work hard. I'm already tired.
I mean, the exhaustion, the defeat that does. This is why so many guys, they fizzle out.
Oh, you know, that's why they come to group and then leave, right? Because they're going to go, I've got to work this hard for this long. Well, forget it.
Whereas,
they don't understand.
Whereas a grace-based reproach, a guy comes in and in this environment that's grace-based says, you are welcome here always in all of your brokenness, in all of your shame, in all of the stuff that you've done. And we're going to start showing you that your value is not based on what you do or do not do. And when you start understanding that, all of these scales, all of this weight can start to fall off of you because you realize the engine for your transformation is not you. It's something that you've been given by God that you didn't even deserve, but he said, I love you that much. I want to give you life. I want to give it to you abundantly. I want to give you joy. I want to give you peace. I want to give you all my kindness and goodness. And
yeah, that makes me want to sign up.
Yeah.
You know, oh no, we're already in the program.
Yeah.
But it's exciting when when we are reminded of this. And I'm glad you wrote this book to encourage others. It's called Grace-Based Recovery. And Jonathan's going to tell you more about how to get a copy as we go forward. But I wanted to play off these words, unmerited favor. And I guess I want you to speak to the people out there that don't know that. I want you to be Jesus on the microphone. I want me to be Jesus on the microphone. And what does that sound like? Because those are words that play in my head. But just bless me for a moment, would you?
Well, I'll tell you, it's the idea of unmerited. It's not something. It's not a term we use a lot. Another way you could think of it is undeserved. That's something we maybe understand a little bit better. And that's very difficult, I think, for us to grasp in our culture. And in our world, the idea that somebody would give a broken, addicted, rebellious, angry, depressed person anything of value and good. Because we have this internal...
So say it. Say what you just said, because it's so powerful. Say, even though I know this, speak like Jesus would speak to that guy right now. What would you say?
Right now, I'm envisioning every single listener that's out there that is currently just struggling with some sort of out-of-control behavior. Whatever it is. I don't care if it's lustful or not. And this is what I believe our Savior would say to you. You're worthy of love.
You are lovable.
You don't have to do anything.
You're worthy.
You don't even have to change right now. There's nothing right now
just receive
that could prevent me from giving you love.
Because that's who I am.
And so you're worthy of love. You know what? You're also worthy of respect.
I want to love you.
I do love you. You are a human being that's made in the image of your Creator. And because of that,
you are made in His image.
You are worthy of honor. And respect and dignity.
So much more than your little acts of fumbling around.
There's nothing that you have done that makes God turn His back on you.
Nothing.
Nothing.
He loves. That's who He is. And He goes, yeah, you made a mess. Yeah, I see your mess, but I still am who I am. I still love you.
And so I think that's the idea of unmerited. I think when we get down to it, we just keep thinking, I have to do something to earn my keep, to earn my value. And God is saying, there's nothing you could do to earn your value because I gave it to you before you were born. Your value was placed on you before you were even a twinkle in your parents' eyes. You are worthy of love and respect and
just
honor.
Just receive that, listeners. That's so powerful. You are worthy in your Father's eyes. You are found worthy today. You are deemed worthy. You are. Nothing you do makes you more worthy or less worthy because you are His sons and daughters.
And Stephen, this is one of the reasons why in the book I actually make the point that grace-based recovery is not easy. And what I mean by that is because we have just this, so much of this human internal drive to say, I have to earn.
Yes.
I have to earn my way.
Do. Yes.
That it's so hard to actually receive grace.
But your spirit hungers for it. Yeah. Your spirit says, that's what I want. That's right. That's true. That's dying there.
But I hope what's happened just even over these last couple minutes is, if listeners, if you have allowed some of this just to enter your spirit, just let it rattle around in your mind that you are worthy of love and respect and honor and dignity, not because of anything you've done, but because your Creator says you're worthy of that. Mm. What might happen if that starts to sink into your being? It's a very hard thing because, I mean, I've been on this journey for over 14 years. And I have to be totally honest with you, Stephen, it's probably only been over the last 5 years that I have really, really felt free in the sense of having felt like grace has so permeated my being that I have fully embraced it. And so all I'm saying, and I don't want to freak out the listeners, but all I'm saying is grace is not as easy to receive as you might think.
But then wouldn't you also be a little gentle on those that can only do the behavior
thing? Oh, absolutely.
Right now? It's like, I don't get this grace thing. I can't feel it, but I can do the right thing today.
Yeah.
I'm sort of numb, but I can do the right thing today. I have pain, but I can do the right thing today.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Isn't that actually the course? Well, maybe not, but it's one of the courses, right? Sometimes you can just take this in. It's like a miraculous healing. But oftentimes we see addicts that have drugged themselves in. They have to sort of, with God's help, drag themselves out of difficulty.
And this is one of the things that I hope will come out of the book is people will realize this is what we are moving toward, is a grace-based environment. Listen, we all start at a place where if you've been going and sleeping with prostitutes— stop. You do. You just got to stop. I'm not anti-behavioral change. I'm just saying sometimes we only focus on that component and that's not deep enough. That's not the real transformation.
No, but do the behavioral.
So absolutely, I hope there's no listeners out there that are feeling like we are shaming anybody that's just saying, I got to make some changes. That's great. You've got to make some changes. But we hope what's happening is maybe we'll breathe some fresh inspiration into your recovery that's saying, you know what, I feel like I've kind of been on a treadmill even in my recovery. And we want to help you understand that God's grace wants to free you from that just exhaustion that you're feeling.
Yeah, and you know, as
recovery.
I'm thinking about this, it's like being good is okay, but being with God is really the program.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's okay to be good. Go try to be good. Work on being good, right? But it's only so satisfying. It's not the richness or the depth of the gift of God of grace.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to talk about what grace is in this recovery process?
Sure. I would just say, just so you kind of know how the book is broken down, it's short. And honestly, it's really, I wrote it sort of as an ebook, and we have some print copies of it too, but it's a short little book. And so it's just broken down into kind of an introduction and then what grace-based recovery is, what grace-based recovery is not. Why grace is the best environment for recovery, and then where do you go from here? Like, what are some principles that you would then take to begin living in this grace-based environment? One of the things I want to point out about what grace-based recovery is that grace-based recovery always leaves the door open. You know, I've heard some horror stories of some recovery programs where there's kind of a, you know, a three strikes, you're out policy and some of these kind of things. And I just cringe sometimes when I hear that because I think, oh my goodness, what kind of message are you communicating to this guy? You're still communicating that your value is based on what you do. And I know it's hard. I mean, when a guy is struggling and he keeps slipping and falling and even in his recovery and sometimes we lose patience with those guys that come in, week out, and it's like, yep, I failed just as much as I did the previous week. And we just go, oh, it's so hard because there's a part of us in our humanity that wants to just cut this person off and say, I'm done with you.
Right.
But I love the fact that God doesn't treat us that way. God doesn't cut us off. He doesn't say, I'm done with you. In fact, he leaves the 99 to go seek the one wandering sheep. You know, so he keeps coming after us. And I think that's the way what we need to have too. And also, I believe one of the reasons that we need to never shut the door on a guy in recovery is because it's inside the group that he's going to get the help he needs. If we keep shoving him out into the cold, it's like he's just going to get worse out there. And so the more grace is saying you are always welcome here in all of your brokenness and all of your failure. It doesn't matter if you've failed 1,000 times. We want to help you get up again and try again.
There's something really warm about grace, isn't it?
It's invitational.
Come in from the outside and come into the warmth of this group. You know, that's good, Jonathan.
I also want to share with you just one thing about what grace-based recovery is not. I did share with you, you know, that it's not easy. But I also want people to know that grace-based recovery does not say it's okay to keep acting out. Sometimes when I've tried to explain, you know, grace-based recovery to people, they go, oh, man, that's just an excuse for people that aren't strong enough, you know, to change, to just keep doing their stupid stuff. No. The Bible actually tells us in Titus 2 that it's the grace of God that teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. It's not rules. It's not performance. It's not having a bunch of check boxes that actually changes us and teaches us to say no. Mm-hmm. It's grace. So when you start bringing a person into a grace-based environment, it feels counterintuitive because you think, okay, if we've got this invitational spirit, this person is welcome here no matter how much they've failed, no matter how far they've fallen, you would almost think, wouldn't that just encourage more falling? But I like the way you put it. It's warm. Mm. There's something that starts to attach to your spirit and your soul that's what you've wanted. You've wanted to belong. You've wanted to know that your worth isn't based on what you do. And as that happens, as you start to kind of let that thaw out your hardened heart, you start to realize, because I'm loved, not based on what I do, I'm now free to do what I was made to do. It's like once we start embracing the grace of God, we start learning what it is to live the way we were designed. And so you start realizing, I don't actually want to go back to all that crap and all that junk and all that darkness and everything. Now, again, there's a process here. It takes time. I'm just kind of jamming it all into.
Right. But I'm thinking the word freedom, mm-hmm. right? To be free. To live free, to sort of walk in how you were designed without the burden or the heaviness or the confusion or the loss.
Or the fear.
Yeah.
We see so many guys that they're so gripped with fear in their recovery because it's all their value is based on their performance. They get locked into fear. Some of them have developed anxiety disorders because of it. Mm. So they're just going from one prison to another. And what I believe grace does is if we allow these guys to continue to work through and struggle through their issues, understanding and continuing to tell them your value is based on the Word of God. He says you're loved. He says you are worthy of love.
Wow. Sorry, I'm flashing back to the little coupon book we did in a previous show. But one of the coupon gifts would be, give me grace. Could you give me grace mm-hmm. today? Could you just give me that acceptance? And I messed up, and I mess up a lot, but could you give me grace? What a wonderful thing for one person to give it to another. When we get it from our Father, for us to be able to give it to another that's struggling.
Well, we've got just a few seconds left here, and I did want to share there's in the last chapter, there's these 7 principles that kind of help you understand, well, how do you engage this grace-based recovery? And one of them that I want to point out that hopefully will kind of weave into what we're talking about here is that persistence will pay off eventually. And so the key, I believe, to a grace-based recovery being effective is that you persist in it. It's so easy to want to latch on to at certain points. Well, let me just go start working harder. Let me go start performing well. Let me go start checking the boxes. And it's like, no, let the grace of God continue to wash over you. And as that happens, there will be this sort of organic birth of life in you that is not bound by your addiction any longer. So,
and isn't there a little performance in that I have to go to my Father and I have to go to church and I have to go to men? There's a little work involved, but it's like going to the place of rest or nurturing. It's that kind of
It's more about just opening yourself up to that. And that's the hard part, is just opening yourself up to that community and that grace.
Yes.
Well, folks, if you want to get a copy of the book, you can go to purelife.com. Again, that's purelife.com. or you can just call us here at the ministry at 1-800-49-PURITY. We look forward to having you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.